This is a rather incredible piece of scripture. I don't know how well you know it, how familiar you are with its words and images. I find it very powerful, though. Just like last week's text, if you do know it, there's a chance that that is because of yet another old song. With this one, with its explanation of which bones are connected to each other. Them bones, them bones, them. I'll just give you a minute to finish that through in your head, right? You kind of have to sing the whole refrain. Now, Ezekiel's vision, it's not a common Advent text, but it is strangely fitting. The prophet Ezekiel lived during the Babylonian exile. So again, we have a prophet speaking to a people who are removed from their homeland, their traditions, their way of life. In some cases, the prophets offered warnings for those who were departing from God's ways. But in this moment, Ezekiel's prophecy is not a warning, but an offer of hope to a people despairing. This passage is Ezekiel's prophetic vision, a vision given to him by God, something that comes from God. And my, is it an interesting one. Ezekiel finds himself in a valley, accompanied by God, and this valley is full of bones. In my head here, I always picture the elephant graveyard from the movie The Lion King. I don't know, maybe you have a different image, but I have this, you know, valley and there's more bones. There's red sky with kind of an eerie soundtrack playing in the background, right? Generally a feeling of unease. And Ezekiel notes how dry these bones are. So they're old. They've been there for a long time. And just how very many bones there are. God asks Ezekiel, can these bones live? And I kind of love this because Ezekiel does not presume to know the answer. He doesn't give voice to his inner skeptic and say, not a chance. But he doesn't say with this, you know, inflated sense of faith, absolutely. No. Instead, his response is humble in some way and says, oh Lord God, you know. Ezekiel knows that this is a task that only God could manage if God desired to. But then this really cool thing happens, because instead of God doing it, God instructs Ezekiel to speak to the bones. And as he speaks, he hears the bones begin to clatter as they join themselves together. And dry bones become bones with sinews, and then sinews covered in flesh, and then flesh covered in skin. But they do not yet live, for they have no breath. And God gives Ezekiel words once again, and as he speaks, prophesies, breath enters their bodies and they stand up. A vast multitude, we're told. Living, breathing bodies out of nothing but dried up old bones. And God says, these bones are the whole house of Israel. They say, our bones are dried up and our hope is lost. We are cut off completely. But I will put my spirit within you and you shall live. And I will place you on your own soil, and then you shall know that I, the Lord, have spoken and will act. We all have had our moments where we feel like hope is lost, where we think that things are really bad, maybe even the worst they've ever been. Many of us this year have faced significant personal challenges. And outside of ourselves, well, it's easy to read the newspaper and learn the statistics and declare with certainty that the world has never been in such a bad state of affairs. Wars, genocide, terrorism, slavery, climate change, corruption, greed, you name it, the list goes on and on. It would be easy to feel hopeless, to look around and declare that there isn't any reason left to hope. There's nothing here but a bunch of dry bones. So much so that when we look around, we're not sure what could even become of it all. And then God. God comes. God asks, can these bones live? Can all this destitution and destruction laid to waste ever become life again? And we are bold if we can find the faith to answer as Ezekiel does. Oh God, you know. And then this strange and beautiful and ridiculous thing happens. In an almost reversal of decomposition, bones come together, are wrapped in sinews, recovered in flesh, and then all held together by skin. And then they are given breath. That which was lifeless, dried up, the ultimate picture of beyond repair, becomes a living, breathing body once again. This isn't so much meant to be a resurrection story as it is a story of hope in the midst of darkness, of despair, of terrible brokenness. The Israelites suffered. They cried out. And they received this, a vision, a story of hope. And so for we, who know what it is to despair, to feel grief and anger, who look out and see little more than a valley of dry bones, we are given this image of hope, an image that is incredibly rich and meaningful all on its own. But we are fortunate enough to hear it as Christians, as people who know an even bigger story. A story of God who put on flesh and skin and breathed so that God might be closer to us, to walk among us, to show us love, and to show us once again that God is more powerful than death and hopelessness. I've been using an Advent devotional this year that is all about hope. One of the entries has a poem called Blessing of Hope. And it speaks, I think, to this vision of Ezekiel's and to us and our time. I think it speaks to the kind of hope that we need, the kind of hope that we seek, and the hope that we need to be reminded is already ours. It is the kind of hope that, in the face of an impossible mission, answers, O Lord God, you know, and believes that God is the one who can make the impossible possible. So I leave you with this poem by Jan Richardson, Blessing of Hope. So may we know the hope that is not just for someday, but for this day, here, now, in this moment that opens to us. Hope not made of wishes, but of substance. Hope made of sinew and muscle and bone. Hope that has breath and a beating heart. Hope that will not keep quiet and be polite. Hope that knows how to holler when it is called for. Hope that knows how to sing when there seems little cause. Hope that raises us from the dead, not someday, but this day, every day, again and again and again. Amen.